So the big question is this: how do entrepreneurial salespeople like us, who have traditionally sold alone and used gut and intuition to hit their number, take their innate talents and begin selling using science, technology, and the secrets of thousands who have done it before to crush their quota and change the world? That is the question, and this podcast provides the answers. Today we're going to be talking about diversity, inclusion, how you should be thinking about it, why you should be thinking about it, and what great companies do differently to make sure they have that in their repertoire. And to do that, we brought on the CEO and co-founder at Always Hired, Gabriel Moncayo. Gabriel, how the heck are you?
I'm doing fantastic. It's summer in San Francisco.
No kidding, man.
Exactly. So depending.
This is a good time, right?
Ask Mark Twain about it. Yeah, ask Mark Twain about it. So, but I'm enjoying myself here. Thanks.
Good,
how's,
man.
Your side of the world?
Yeah. We're not too far. You know, we're just a stone's throw over here in Salt Lake City. But this is true. You know, we're warm here in the summer, but the nights are fantastic. We're pushing a 90 to 100, but the nights cool down. It can be fantastic. So this is a good time to be in Utah, especially if you're an outdoorsy person. Tell us real quick, man. I'm anxious to get into diversity here, inclusion, et cetera, but tell us a little bit about yourself and Always Hired.
Yeah, absolutely. So I am a first-generation American. English is my second language. Both my parents are PhD psychologists, yet I decided to go straight into sales and business after high school. I played sports very competitively from an early age, and I shared a field with Marshawn Lynch, if anyone knows who that is.
Is that right?
I started Always Hired. Yeah. Absolutely creamed us. Seven halfback dives, seven touchdowns, and he sat for the rest of the game. That was it. So, and literally the first seven plays of the game were just to him, and he scored a touchdown every time. But it was fun to watch. Even from the sideline, we were like, ooh, this guy's good. And the coach was like, shut up. But anyways.
I love it.
So started Always Hired. It's a technology sales school just as a way to help people learn the skills necessary to become great salespeople and to learn how to sell software for some of the fastest growing companies ever. So I'll take a break there, but that's a little bit of a background on myself personally and Always Hired the company.
I love it. It's such a cool idea. Great little niche, you know, trying to figure out how do you support kind of this movement of sales in tech. I think you're definitely onto something, which I'm sure we'll hear some of the lessons learned that you'll be sharing here in just a minute. Normally I ask, man, something unique about yourself or something you've done that kind of makes you interesting, but the Marshawn Lynch thing is awesome. So I'm going to take that one as your unique facet. Cause I'm a big, I can't say I'm a big fan, but I am a fan and he is beast mode there. So we'll take that and we'll jump right into the topic at hand, thinking about inclusion and diversity. You mentioned, you know, being a first generation here, but also then ditching psychology and kind of jumping into sales. Just kind of wanted your quick opinion, big picture on how was that experience diving in to sales, being kind of a first generation potentially? I mean, sounds like you've grown up in California, certainly quite diverse there, but you know, we find in tech, which I want to get into a little bit, it's not always as diverse as you think, but just your experience is a big picture. It's good, been bad, challenging, ups and downs. Where do you go?
Yeah, absolutely. It's definitely been a challenge. But like they say in life, with the greater the challenge, the greater the reward.
Right.
And I've always been someone with very high aspirations. So I quickly understood that the only way to accomplish these lofty goals was to put myself in very high risk scenarios, essentially. So yeah, it's been tough, but I signed up for it. I always joke, so I can't really complain. The biggest thing that's really helped me is just consistently finding people that would help me.
Yeah.
Like finding people that didn't care that I didn't go to college, or finding people that didn't care that my English was a little rough around the edges. Like in my friend group, my friends make fun of me sometimes for my English because they hear me talk it all the time. Like in business, you might not because I try to be formal. But so, yeah. So anyways, it's been a fun ride. It's definitely had its challenges. It's definitely a unique path, but I'm enjoying it.
So do you feel like how has that experience then affected the way you've kind of, you know, run this business or the way you now coach people to either be more diverse or kind of include diversity in their business?
Yeah. So I think what's really interesting is at the end of the day, and this is actually where I still have my own internal battle between, you know, what's the line of what's right for the business and, you know, what's right for the world. And obviously you want those two things to always be the same, but that's not the case in the business world, which is something I think society is now trying to change. But that's a whole nother conversation. We won't get too deep there. The reason I bring that up though is because my feelings on diversity is diversity actually helps KPIs and diversity actually helps metrics. And I go back to the airbag theory. So when airbags were initially invented, a lot of women and children died. And that's because, can you guess what type of person invented the airbag or created it?
Oh, I don't know, man. I don't know. I feel like I've heard this before, but I don't remember the answer.
Yeah, so it was just a lot of adult males. Mm. So adult males created the airbag to their specifications. So when it interacted with a woman or it interacted with a child, it had higher than projected mortality rates. And this is now the airbag effect. And one of the consequences that can happen by not having the builders completely represent the users.
Yeah.
So I'll take a break there, but that's a story that I always share to why people should care about DNR.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, the airbag story, that is interesting. And there's probably dozens of them out there where people, you mm-hmm. know, obviously focus more on kind of what they are, what they do, and then forget that obviously there is another group out there that may have slightly different opinions. Why do you feel like, you know, obviously you play more in the tech space, and so I want to focus there, but I do think across the board in sales, you know, we're bad at this. But why is that? And you may want to go more into the tech space where you are, but I'd love your opinion on sales just in general. It's always been heavily dominated by males. Certainly there's been kind of a movement to just get women, you know, women in sales, let alone other realms of diversity. What is the challenge? What's stopping people from kind of taking the next step on that?
That's a great question, actually. I don't know if I've been asked that on a podcast before on this topic. So I really enjoyed it. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, no, you're fine. And maybe there's not a good, sometimes there's not great answers. No. I'm just, you know, it's mind boggling.
It was just
sometimes.
So good. I was like, it tickled my brain. I was like, oh, I haven't felt that in a while. So
I love it.
So the question was why haven't people, right? Why haven't we done it yet? Yeah. Or why are people resistant?
Maybe why we haven't seen as much progress, right? I mean, again, women, sales has been dominated by men and tech is not doing any better, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's two reasons. So the first reason I would give it is the accountability of the actual individual user and like the person that's interacting in this environment. And what I mean by that, we're only starting to become a society now that is actually realizing that maybe everything we've been told isn't always true. Maybe there's a better way of doing things. Like maybe I should uncover every stone before I make my decision. And I think historically as a society, we just didn't live that way. So in general, society was less likely to adapt to something new.
Yeah.
Now we live in the world of information, innovation, technology. So it makes more sense that everyone's starting to make changes. Everything is starting to become more diverse. Every country is starting to revolt if they're being held down. So I think one thing is just as a whole, as a society, that's how we were. And this is just a manifestation in this specific sector.
Yeah. I mean, I was just kind of, I'm just thinking as you talked, I mean, I think there's truth to that, right? Sometimes as society moves, so does business. And I think there's just been, there's truth to that. I think there's been that trend. I want to hear kind of your number two.
Yeah. And the number two is just, the manifestation of people not having that type of awareness shows up in micro actions, and those micro actions are going to create changes at scale within an entire demographic. So basically what I mean by that is when a woman would see a job description and it would see the job description say something like, "We're looking for a monster to crush quota," that language is not favorable to attract a woman.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of statistics and studies and science that's actually been done now that correlates different words and how society buckets them or how different people interpret them.
Yeah.
And sales just hadn't created a culture, you know, of comfortability. And I guess just to be even as blunt as possible of like a human being, like, you know, males and females, for example, might even have different standards for bathrooms. And like you go into a sales growth culture at a really early stage startup and maybe they're not thinking about that. And like the entire process for the woman coming in through the interview and going through the office is just like subpar. And, yeah. and all the guys don't even think about that. So I think that's the other reason it's been tough for women to break in is because even when they're trying, it's like the environment is so inhospitable. All the language is not in their favor. All the physical things are not in their favor. So I think that creates the other challenge for people who are trying, for women who are saying, "Let me break through."
Yeah, no, I love it. It's totally true. I've heard that concept, I think, a couple times, just this idea of, you know, we the job description, the environment, that's an interesting one of, it's maybe a little more conducive to this kind of male dominated piece. And so maybe it doesn't attract, I mean, naturally, you know, therefore it doesn't attract some of those other types of qualities, which is funny. Yeah. Because, you know, we often find, certainly, I don't know if there's ever been a formal study or there's any data to back it, but certainly in our own sales team, I feel like the women who are on the team do, you know, oftentimes it seems like they're doing better. It's like, why don't we find
they
more
do.
Of that?
It's true. It's an interesting relationship. 10 to 30% of all salespeople in tech are women. But all the women that are in tech are typically in the 10 to 20% of their team.
Yeah.
So there's not enough women, and all the women that are doing sales are doing very well. So we need more.
Yeah. I love it. God, such an interesting, that is interesting. So what do you, I mean, you're obviously worked on this, and I wanted to see if we can, not just women, there's obviously other pieces of diversity and inclusion that fit in there. What do you feel like leaders should be starting to think about doing in order to, you know, see if they can't solve some of the problems of diversity that are in their own organization? Think tactical recommendations or best practices?
Yeah, the first thing is to physically go through all job descriptions and adjust the language. I think there's a new startup recently backed by a similar investor, Junco. I'm not sure how they're doing, full disclosure, but I did meet them. They sound pretty cool. Junco basically is software that will go through your job description and tell you what language, who's being favored by your language, or you should manually do it. So basically audit all of your job descriptions. I bet you're not thinking about your audience when you're writing your job description.
Yeah.
So it's like any piece of content. Like you're not getting enough leads, or you want different leads, like change your messaging. So that'd be one piece of tactical advice. Was that good? Should I go with another one or any feedback there?
Yeah, no. I mean, give me one more. I mean, I love again the job description and actually trying to think about the audience you're doing. Anything else you've seen to be effective in that realm?
Yeah, absolutely. So I like being proactive with inclusion as much as possible. And what I mean by that is, even if, let's say I have someone from whatever background, we're not going to give it a label, it's just going to be X.
Yep.
If I really want to be inclusive, what I'm basically asking myself is like, what makes this person comfortable? And then in theory, I should be able to write down a list. And then I should be able to match that list or items on that list to people on my team. And then I can give them an inclusive environment as soon as they walk through the door. So the manifestation of how that might appear in an actual company means if I'm interviewing X and I'm the hiring manager of X, but I have another person on my team that also identifies as X, I might adjust the interview process so that the two exes are interacting a little bit more than they normally would through the standard interview process for this job role. Did I explain that well?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you, I mean, you're basically trying to eliminate just some of the biases. I mean, you're kind of thinking through different pieces that may just actually be aligned with the role rather than aligned with whatever I think might be best, right?
Right. And I think that's what a lot of companies do as a mistake. They're like, what can this person bring to me? Yeah. Like, how is this person going to help me? And like that age of business, that age of sales, what can you do for me? What have you done for me? I mean, that's what sales is, right? What have you done for me lately? That's like a dying breed in business because society is becoming more community driven with how connected we're all becoming now. So, yeah,
that's no. I mean, I think that you've got to find some of these tips and tactics. If you don't do it, I think this is the part of the problem is that people, they often feel like they're not biased or they don't have these maybe prejudices built in. But it's always interesting to read these different studies and realize that, hey, man, whether you believe it or not, there's certain things that just are innate because of the way in which we live. So it's better if you can start a little more objectively and then, bring in some things that, certainly you want to see if they're a good culture fit and things like that. But I think you're lying to yourself if you think you're perfect at it. Where do you feel like, we've talked a little bit about men and women, but just thinking about other nationalities, you mentioned you being a first generation American. What is it, and you're obviously dealing with tech, but I'm just thinking of other pieces of diversity, nationality being one of, it seems that like we're still slow in that. Is that because of, again, it just follows similar suit, whether you're going after, women or you're going after diverse backgrounds. If you don't start by thinking differently, you'll end up with kind of the same thing you've always had. Or why are we seeing lower numbers of just other nationalities participate in the tech space in sales?
Yeah, I think it's two things. One, I think if you're selling in America to the Americas, I think your tonality and your accent comes into play. And I just want to be very upfront. I know I'm just going to continue talking because that could have sounded controversial. If not, we've helped a lot of people in our school with really strong accents get jobs, really strong accents. So it's not like an accent disqualifies you. It just makes things a little bit harder. But I think maybe that's part of the reason why there has originally been internal, wrongfully so, but justification. Hey, this person has an accent. There's no way they can hit quota. When in reality, just because someone has an accent doesn't mean they can't hit quota. I mean, they could outwork their whole sales team and just like go to school every day and like practice more and they could become better, right?
Right,
so I think that's one thing. I think that's one thing specific to the sales environment. But I think in reality, it is kind of what we talked about with genders. And this is one of the things that's really changed my life is that everyone thinks they're better than someone. And even when I look at societies that are oppressed, within those oppressed societies, they create their own division to oppress a minority group within themselves.
Right.
It's like, it's so crazy. So it's just like, once you're going to oppress a gender subconsciously on purpose, you're just going to do that for everything. That's the type of person you are. That's the life you live, and it's going to manifest itself in everything else.
Oh man, so true. It's just, and it's how I hear you say that. I'm like, I don't want to believe that, but even as I say that, I'm like, I know that's true, even in my own life, and not just in this aspect. There's other things I could highlight where I think just my natural tendencies kind of take over. As we look to wrap here a little bit, it is horrible. I wasn't going to say, but it's like, it's horrible.
Or normal. I was going to say it's normal. It's normal. It's like, as long as we're aware of it, no one's perfect. So as long as we're aware of it and we're trying to get better, I think the universe will forgive us.
Yeah, that's right. That's probably a good kind of to as we kind of wrap here, Gabriel. And maybe that is, I love that statement of you just first and foremost, you've got to start just being aware. And as you become aware, naturally things just start to change. I love that piece. But if you would leave with an audience again of sales leaders and marketing leaders and sales operations leaders, many who are listening today on this podcast, is there words of wisdom or advice you'd say, guys, as you try to nail this down, here's a couple things you want to probably not forget.
Yeah, the first thing is don't forget to be accountable. number one reason people blame for lack of a diverse team is they say, we don't have pipeline. We don't get diverse candidates. It's such a joke to hear someone in a leadership role say that. That reminds me of when I was a sales manager and my reps would tell me they don't have enough leads. You have enough leads, people. You're just not working them correctly. So that's the first thing. Everyone has enough leads in their pipeline to build a diverse team. You don't need more leads. Okay. That's the first thing. The second thing I would say is, the only question you should be asking yourself when you're really screening people is, can this person hit quota? Can this person do the job? And I mean, obviously you have cultural stuff there, but a lot of times if you take someone with a unique background and you do a great job interviewing them, and then you just ask them, like you ask yourself, excuse me, in your head, if I gave them a phone and access to my Salesforce, would they go crazy and generate me appointments? And like, if you feel the answer is yes, you should give this candidate a chance, even if they're a little bit worse at English, or even if their degree isn't from Ivy or whatever it is.
Yeah.
So just ask yourself a really basic question. And if you can say yes, give it a shot. So I'll take a break there. Maybe those are two things I can leave with.
I think that's powerful, man. I think this is an interesting, you know, I was talking with Gabriel pre-show, and we're trying to decide, you know, he's got five or six things that he's pretty passionate about. This one just jumped out because, you know, I've been doing the podcast for 18 months. We have a couple hundred episodes, and you know, some of that stuff, not to say, you know, I hate social selling. I don't. Many people think I do, but I don't. I mean, there's certain topics you hear a lot, but, you know, this one, when he said, you know, diversity and inclusion, I thought, God, you know, that's just something that's important, but I don't know if we've covered it in 200 plus episodes. And so most of all, Gabriel, I just appreciate you bringing it to our attention, because to your point, being aware, I think, is probably step one. So, we can wrap with that. If somebody wants to learn a little more about what you're doing, or even, you know, connect and kind of continue this dialogue, what would be the best way to do that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, Gabe Moncayo is my handle on most social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, etc. They can also go to our website, alwayshired.com. But if you want to talk with me specifically, best way is to engage through social. I'm pretty responsive.
I love it.
Also on LinkedIn.
Obviously. I love it.
So, and this was a lot of fun, by the way, Gabe. So thanks so much for having me on.
Totally. I mean, it's always, anytime you get two Gabes together, man, the synergy is pretty powerful. So, do you typically go by Gabe, or do you go by Gabriel? A little bit of both.
So my marketing and professional name is Gabriel, so that's labeled everywhere. But then once we establish a relationship, I drop down to Gabe.
Yeah, man. I've gone with Gabe, but my wife's always wanted me to go with Gabriel. I don't know. It's probably too late to switch now that I'm getting old, but it's just kind of what I've always gone by. So anyways, that's a conversation for another time. So again, man, thanks for joining. Appreciate it. For the audience, remember, success, just one play away. Want more sales secrets? Go to salessecrets.io to receive copies of our latest research and best practice content to help you crush your quota.